Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, you know it's my favorite sportsbook, but it's also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love it. I know you will, too. And listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. You pick any basketball team that's still in contention. You bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up, and you, too, can turn $1 into $100 in free credits. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, our first couple segments, we talked about this big recruiting month here in June. Now let's take a look at the 2021 season. And we're going to take a look at the question marks going into the season. There are several of them, and a lot of places to start. I want to start with the defensive line, Dustin. And just to give you an update on this, last week our buddy Ross Tucker, we ranked the positional groups. Ross had the defensive line as the biggest question mark going into the season. And when you lose the amount of talent that they lost there, it's no wonder, right?
Yeah, especially at those end spots, you know, it is a big question mark. You're asking one young player who hasn't done it in a full-time capacity yet in Adisa Isaac to go out there and do that. He's certainly capable physically. You know, he's one of the more talented players on the roster. And then Arnie DiBichitti comes in, and you expect him to be a starter at Temple. You need to see that his skill set can make the jump into the Power Five, which, again, it looks like it can. And then you're asking players behind them, you know, a Nick Tarburton, for example, to do something that he's never done before, which is make himself consistently available high in that defensive end rotation. So you do have a whole trickle-down effect going from two pretty known commodities in Shaka Toney and Jason Owe to a lot of unknowns there. Inside, I think there's a chance at the tackle spots for some addition by subtraction. I think Derek Tangelo coming in brings an element. I think Devon Ellis and Hakeem Beeman bring an element. I think PJ Mustafer will be the best that we've seen him be. The question is, how good is that? So I think there can be some strength and a variety of weapons on the inside that maybe help ease the burden a bit on the outside. But you do need to get after the passer. I know that they're in pretty good shape on the back end of this defense, but you need to hurry up some decisions. And I'm not quite sure who's getting to the quarterback. You know, that's something that question is going to have to be answered in the early part of the year.
I also think, Dustin, in this position, remember the last couple of years, 2019 and 2020, and maybe even back to 2018. But anyway, we talked about the recruiting classes being a lot of potential. There's three-star guys with great upside. They probably won't step right in and play as freshmen, but have them in the system for a couple years, then they have to show up. Well, guess what? We're now a couple years in, aren't we?
In a couple of those cases, I think the 2020 class, I don't expect a lot of those types of players to force the issue this year. I don't think this is the year for your Fatoma Mulbas and some of the offensive linemen too. But I don't think this is the year where you expect a lot from them. I still think that this is a work in progress for those guys. But certainly, you know, I think more players from the 19 class will be asked to play a more key role. You know, you're going to have to ask them. Maybe it's put up or shut up time for some of them.
You mentioned Devon Ellis, but how about Smith Vilbert at defensive end? Might this be the year he steps up?
Another great example of a player that you hope will do that. Looking at this defensive end rotation, the whole position group is better if Smith Vilbert at least flashes now this coming season. So he is a wild card, and this is the type of wild card, I think, at that position where Penn State needs to have one or two young guys develop and be able to chip in on the back end of the rotation. I don't think they need Smith Vilbert to be a star or anything, but you do need to have him take steps in the right direction.
Dustin, as long as we're talking question marks, let's hit the elephant in the room, the big one, the big variable, and that's Sean Clifford. And what's fascinating is you typically expect a player, especially a quarterback, you see a certain amount in his first year as a starter, you expect more the second year. We didn't get that in his second year. This is probably the question mark for this team, isn't it?
It's the question mark of all question marks, and I don't think anybody really has an answer. I don't think spring got us any closer to an answer. I do know, without making excuses, that they struggled to really get on the same page and to implement the offense, but that doesn't really excuse some of the really poor decision-making that landed Sean Clifford on the bench in the first place. Those two, I think, are separate issues. The offense didn't have much of a chance, but at the same time, your year two starter, and you who you hope is a program caliber quarterback, didn't look the part last year. Came around, and I think there was enough positive that he settled into a new position with a new set of tasks, which is to manage games. And the question is, will he start the year in that game manager approach? And how much more can you get out of him without you know, a bunch of errant passes and some bad decisions? You know, I don't know where Sean Clifford is at. And I think Mike Yurcich has a chance to bring out a better version of him. But I don't know anybody who's speaking with a high degree of confidence with Sean Clifford. I don't think he's really seeing this from an objective point of view.
And I think a concern that we've had through the spring is almost damning him with faint praise. Boy, he works hard. That type of thing, as opposed to what we're seeing actually on the performance on the field. I don't want to read too much into that. I don't think we're going to start to know anything until week one when they're lined up against Wisconsin. So let's move on, Dustin. Another concern is, you know, the pass defense. And it's amazing. And again, I had this conversation with Ross when we were talking about the position groups. And he's very high on the safeties and the cornerbacks and the DBs, and it seems like this is the year they have that talent. Well, a lot of these guys were there last year also, and we still had plays that just should not have happened.
And it's everybody. You know, it's everybody on the defense. There's just communication issues, and I think the approach of Brent Pry, he's questioned himself at times leading into last season. But I don't think that they've ever really been at a shortage of talent in the defensive backfield, right? Like, since James Franklin got here in 2014, I think you've seen the safety position come and go when it comes to depth, but I think they've had pretty talented defensive backs all through his time. I don't think that's ever really been the issue. I think it's just getting players lined up and adjusting to offenses adjustments on the fly. And we saw last year that wasn't very much improved from 2019. And it was a question then. So in my eyes, it's been a question 2 years in a row. And I think it's fair to wonder if they're able to get that fixed up, how to go about fixing that. If on-field leadership needs to improve, if the coaching needs to improve, it's probably all of these things. And I put physical talent near the bottom of the list of biggest issues.
And Dustin, you and I were talking off the air. I pre-recorded a segment with Coach Nick Caduti. He does these great scouting reports and film study for Penn State football on the YouTube channel For the Bloggy. Excellent stuff. And we did a segment where we talked about exactly what you are, the communication on defense. And in his video, and we talked about it on our segment, there was one play against Maryland where there was an issue with the cornerback and safety in coverage when the offensive players crisscrossed. A linebacker was just out in no man's land instead of getting into the passing lane. The safety took a bad angle. Meanwhile, the defensive line itself, you could see they were still communicating with each other, scrambling when the ball was being snapped, so there was no pressure on the quarterback. On one play, you literally had four or five issues, and it was on every level. You can't have that.
And the scale of the breakdown, as you mentioned, you can't circle one player. You pretty much circle the entire defense. Every position group was affected on this particular play. And guess what? It wasn't the first time, and it wasn't the only time. Last season or the year before, the magnitude of these breakdowns has been breathtaking at times, and not in a very good way. And so I think the cleanup, you know, you can't have any instances of those types of breakdowns. But they've also had other types of breakdowns along the way too, where a lot of stuff needs to be fixed, from whether that's a scheme or communication or some combination of both. A lot of the stuff needs to be fixed, and I think there's, you know, 2020 didn't really do the job. Now, to your point, I think some of those players were not, you know, just kind of had a well-earned reputation for being out of position. And that's what happened. All of it happened on one play. So maybe you're able to sort of change the look of this defense and get guys who are able to get on the same page, get players who are in better position to communicate. But you know, there were experienced players who were well out of position on that play that you mentioned.
Well, let's stay on the defensive side of the ball. And there are three returning starters at linebacker. That's the good news. The bad news is it's the guys who were making some of those mistakes. But already this spring, they kind of shook up that starting lineup, probably with an eye to improve these issues, Dustin.
It can only help. I think Jesse Lucado was out of position last year where he was being asked to play in space. Brandon Smith, I think, wasn't in his optimal position. He's so good and so rangy and so physical and talented. I think he could play any of those linebacker spots. I think you're going to have him in a better spot. And I think Curtis Jacobs is a much better player to play in space than Jesse Lucado. He moves a lot better, will be able to react a lot better, close the gap on ball carriers faster. And I think you can only probably get better from a tackling perspective. So I think there's a good chance that you shuffle the deck in the right way at linebacker this year. And I think getting Curtis Jacobs on the field only helps the entire cause, because he is such a good athlete. And I think he's going to be the next big time star at linebacker.
Really quickly, how does the running back depth chart shake out?
I think Noah Cain holds onto the job, but all bets are off. Nothing would surprise me from 1 to 5 in that group.
The big question mark for Noah Cain, of course, is health. And don't forget John Levitt coming in from Baylor. I think he's better than people realize that he is. That is it for quarter number 3. We still have quarter number 4 to go, so stick with us.
DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside. Pick any basketball team still in contention, bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in 4 Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.